You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
This weekend, the National Party announced that they would like to cease the ban on GMOs and genetically engineered plants if they were to be in power. The belief behind this is that New Zealanders can benefit from allowing genetically modified organisms. However, this is not without concerns surrounding regulation. In addition to this, horticulture spokesperson Sam Ufendel has recently stated that the EPA is key to unlocking innovation in New Zealand. I explored why this is with the National Party's Dr. Shane Reddy. And I started by asking why GMOs and genetically engineered plants are currently banned.
So there has been concerns over many years, certainly in the early days of gene modification, that there might not have been a suitably controlled environment. And so New Zealand took a conservative approach and said, particularly in the context of our clean green image and how we like to project both to ourselves and to the world, and so we took a conservative approach. What has happened is that as technology has improved and has other issues such as climate change have raised up from those early times, and technology that's improved medicines, for example, there's needed to be a reposition on gene modification. And so what you saw was announced on the weekend was a repositioning in our hands.
I see that National is for unbanning them. What would this mean for New Zealanders?
So what you'll see for us is that we'll form a gene modification regulator, a regulator that has a particular focus, a specific focus on safe use and application of gene modified technologies. And what we know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel here, but we know certainly in Australia and in other countries, they have regulators of this type, and they're able to advance more quickly than we are at the moment around the benefits of gene modification. So, for example, the methane-reducing ryegrass that actually came out of technology in New Zealand wasn't able to be field-tested here. My understanding was that it then went over to the US and they eventually landed up in Australia, who are getting the benefits of that clinical knowledge, when in fact it originated in New Zealand. And it just seems to us that there are safe ways where we can capture that, by way of example, capture that intellectual property, capture that New Zealand knowledge, and utilise it in our environment in safe ways.
Are there any biosecurity risks involved in this reversal?
So the observation from overseas is that with an appropriate regulator and with robust policies, that gene modification can safely be incorporated into business practices for the benefit of New Zealanders and for the benefit of communities. So it's something that will be high on the list of concerns for the regulator, but we think, like other jurisdictions, that can be managed. But we do understand and take that very seriously into account.
We're very lucky to have such a biodiverse nation.
Oh, we're all making steps towards increasing biodiversity, not decreasing them. And on one level, gene modification kind of does that as well, but we don't want to damage or cause any harm to our intrinsic biodiversity as we have it. In fact, we're all making efforts through various steps to try and increase biodiversity, not decrease it.
In reversing this conservative approach and taking a more cautious allowance approach, would this financially impact New Zealand?
So as we're seeing it, the advantages in climate control, the advantages in improved medicines access, the advantages to modernising, that's what we're talking about, modernising our position on gene modification. There undoubtedly will be some expenses around setting up a new regulator, but we think the benefits to New Zealanders in having a more fit for purpose and modern gene modification set of policies will far outweigh the cost, far outweigh.
Moving on to the EPA, I notice your spokesperson for, I believe it was horticulture, has come out and said that the number of crop protection products has decreased under the Labor government. What would National do differently?
So what we're seeing here is what the figures show is that I think it's from 2012 to 2016. I need to check that. But in the last 5 years under the last National government, we were able to administer roughly 500 decisions for crop protection products. That compares to the last 6 years under the current government, where they've done just over 370. So you're almost a 29% drop. More problematic is there's only been 42 release decisions in the last year, which is a huge drop compared to previous years. We know staff numbers and funding to the EPA has increased, but delivery has decreased. So we think the EPA still has a very important role to play, and so we want to work with the policy settings and work with the EPA as to how we can unlock any hurdles they're having that would both align with what our position on gene modification is and on other aspects that the EPA is responsible for as well. So we want to facilitate the EPA to be doing a better job, and we believe they want to do the same. So really this is exploration around what are your hurdles, how can we help you with those hurdles.
Better collaboration with the EPA, is that the goal?
Better collaboration, we want to understand what it is that has caused that decrease in their output in this past 6 years. How can we fix that is what we want to do. So we want to power up the EPA so that they can do more.
Why does National want to prioritise this relationship? What impact does this have for New Zealanders if there are more decisions coming out?
So the EPA plays an important role, and we've talked about gene modification, and undoubtedly that will the regulator will have a relationship with the EPA, but that's just one role of the Environmental Protection Agency.
That in our hands, we'll be making sure that the EPA can really deliver the scientific advancement that growers are calling for. And we think that if we can lift the performance of the EPA, that's good for everyone.
The sounds of things, that relationship and also the unbanning of GMs and GEs is going to allow New Zealand to advance. Is that what the National Party would like?
Yes, it is. We see that obviously the gene modification regulator will be important, but then the overview, not just for gene modification, but for the wider purview of environmental protections. That's the EPA. So we want to collaborate closely with them. We want them to be returning to the sort of performance and outcomes that they had when we last had responsibility for them. And we want to power them up so that they can do more, because that's what everyone wants. That's what growers want, that's what farmers want. We want to lift up the performance of the EPA and help them to modernise and bring more quickly into play some of the benefits to New Zealanders that a modern and up-to-date EPA could do. We're really pleased with the response that we've had. Obviously a challenging area. It's been a challenging area for New Zealand for many years, but everyone sort of understands that we now need to modernise, we need to have policies that are fit for purpose, and we can do that in a safe way. I think when we join those three dots, everyone is saying, yep, time to have a discussion, yep, let's learn from the overseas environment and have a regulator specific to this space, and let's accrue those benefits to New Zealand.
That was the National Party's Dr. Shane Reddy speaking to me on GMOs and genetic engineering. We'll be right back after this short break, so keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.